Guiding Our Youth will be the title of this podcast. This podcast is going to be different. It's going to be different. Still going to be in a conversational form. I still want you to be able to provide feedback and questions if you choose to. I'm asking that you also support this podcast. If I put it on any form of social media, I'm asking that you share. I'm going to be putting some advertisements in between the different clips. And when it's done and ready, I'll be sending it out. But this is also going to be different in terms of I'm going to use the Bible. I'm going to use the Word of God to relay these points. I don't know what your religious background may be. When I say religious, I mean quote unquote or denominations. If you trust me as one of your colleagues or your coach or your mentor or your teacher, please trust that I am going to teach you the way of truth. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm not going to give you how I feel. I'm going to give you the truth. And as we begin, I pray that you have an ear to hear and that I speak from God's perspective. And if I can give you any type of insight concerning being educated in a conversation with people, people always speak from whatever their belief system is. If they follow God or if they don't, or if they follow any type of denominations, people live their life and they speak from their quote unquote, again, religious experience or lack thereof, or whatever belief system they subscribe to. So it's not that people just don't highlight whatever their denominations is when they're in the secular arena or the traditional workplace. Sometimes those conversations do take place. And what I'm conveying is that people live and speak from their belief system, whether it be in church or out of church. A person that's in church just doesn't highlight scriptures verbatim, but they speak and they live their life from that perspective. So I'm not giving you anything that's brand new. I'm bringing my belief system to the surface and highlighting points for you in which can help us guide our young people in the right direction. All right. I was going to say, yeah, feel me, but I hope that you do. Adam, where art thou? Anybody know the story of Adam or Adam? We understand that Adam fell according to Genesis 3. And I'm going to read this passage for you and then give a bit of commentary about it and go into our first stop for station identification. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is a more in-depth expression. It's amplified. It's more intense. It's more detailed in comparison to a King James or another version. I love the Passion Bible as well. Verse 5, this is chapter 3, verse 5 in Genesis. And it reads, "For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God." If you're reading along with me and you got the same type of Bible, I want you to underline that. If not, I want you to highlight like God in your mind. Knowing the difference between good and evil, blessing and calamity. This was a depiction of if the woman would choose to eat from a tree of knowledge and good and evil. Verse 6 reads, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good," in parentheses it reads, "suitable and pleasant for food, and that it was delightful to look at, and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise." Here we go again, one wise. "She took up the fruit and ate, and she gave some also to her husband, and he ate," which was Adam. "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron-like girdles." almost there, verse 8. And they heard a sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Go back up to verse 5. Like God, verse 6, make one wise. This is what is called idolatry. And I'll get into this selection when the time is right. But for the time being, we cannot afford to guide youth outside of the instruction that God the Father has given us. If we choose to make that decision, it transforms into idolatry. Idolatry is spelled I-D-O-L-T-A-R-Y. It's the worship of an idea, person, place, thing, item, shoe, etc., etc., as a deity, as God. In the passage, it reads, it was the serpent that was speaking to the woman at the time in conversation, in a very cunning conversation. God don't want you to be like him, because you're going to be wise just as he was. In society, we always seek wisdom. We seek knowledge, but we seek knowledge, and the application of knowledge transforms in the wisdom. But the wisdom we seek is the wisdom of the world, which is passing and temporary, and not the wisdom of God. Adam, you have forsaken me. You have left my presence. The reason why God was calling their name or his name, because they're a unit, because he knew that Adam was not in his rightful place, because his woman partook of the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and just sent everybody in array. Adam heard the voice of God calling him through a state of sin consciousness, because he chose to follow the voice of a stranger, which was the voice of the serpent, which came from his wife. She partook of the fruit. She actually offered the fruit to him. He could have said no, but he still chose to partake of it, which allowed him to leave the presence of God. Even though he was physically, from the story, in a place, the presence, he had left. Hence, God asking him, "Adam, where are you? Your parent knows when you were, think about when you were younger, a teenager, or maybe even 12, and you and your parents live in the same house, and they gave you a responsibility to get something done, to do some type of chore, to clean the bathroom, and they knew internally, they can sense it, that you weren't doing what was instructed, and they would call your name and say, 'Marcus, where you at?' To verify either you doing what you were instructed or you not doing what you was instructed. Adam already knew that his wife and him had missed the mark. And when he responded to the call, he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, fear, and naked, unclothed, not equipped, and I hid myself." Because it was shame. Fear, shame, all that came. We're going to pause for a station identification. And hopefully when we come back, we'll be ready to rock. So let me get this done. We'll pause for 1 sec. I'll check back with you in a bit. Okay, we made it back. When we left off, we were discussing the catastrophe that took place in Genesis 3. and how the woman partook of the fruit from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, passed it to her hubby. He ate it. They missed the mark. God knew. He asked a question to identify possibly where he was in him doing what God had instructed him to do, or where he was not. The whole premise of me bringing this and highlighting to you is because if or when we seek knowledge outside of what God has given us or afforded us, the end result is adultery, y'all. Adultery. We gave the term about idolatry as far as the worship of a deity, a person, idea, place, thing, item. And if I can relate it to where we are as far as helping our young people, is that's what it's leading to. That's what it has led to, but we weren't aware of it because no one taught us or brought it to us in this manner, and God had not revealed it to us. But anytime I'm in an environment, I know that that's taking place. That's why I'm in the environment, to alleviate some of the layers that have been given to our young people, was stopping them from realizing who they are. So it was just layers of knowledge given, and people that have been rejected or see themselves as destitute or in scarcity, once we feel as though we know something or we grasp it, it feeds into our ego and our self-esteem and becomes a part of our identity without God giving it to us. So the knowledge itself and the persona of it all transforms into our identity. And it's more difficult to redirect young people when that takes place, because the age of 18, part of the United States of America, I think it was the 21st or 20th Amendment, identifies young people as adults by law. And once people live their life legalistically by United States of American law, it's difficult to, or it can be, I want to prophesy the correct words, is it can be difficult to alleviate them from that egotistic, prideful mentality. But it's not impossible. To guide, G-U-I-D-E, we must follow. To follow, we must be open to be led by the Spirit of God and others who are being led by the Spirit of God. We must guide youth in the direction of truth by walking in the cool of the day, parentheses, the Spirit of God. Attempting to guide youth without the Spirit of God leads to adultery all day, every day. If we're going to be mentors, leaders, parents, if we're going to guide our young people or our kids, nephews, nieces, mentees, in the direction of truth, not the right direction. There's a difference between truth, right or wrong. Truth is not subject to opinion. It's objective, because it comes straight from God. Then you have, on the other pendulum, you have right or wrong, which is still subject to humanism and opinion. To follow, we must be open to be led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not only in me, it's not only in you, it's in us. Therefore, anybody has the ability to lead me in a specific direction at any prescribed time, however God desires to move His Spirit. This is key. And I say this because I don't want to guide your child, your niece or nephew, to Mr. Cage's school of philosophy, because there's no sustainability in that. Only sustainability and firmness and foundation that we have is Christ. I'm going to read James 1, 22 and 25. This foundation has to be laid. Because if it's not laid, then we continue to lead our kids into adultery. And then you have a person like myself or other people have to come untangling the web or untie the shoe of confusion. It can be very, very minimal. I know it's a lot of factors that play into being led by God, because your requirement is to go to church, and people have a hard time, and they have a hard time and experience with church out of conflict or misunderstanding or being abused by pastors. We have to walk in forgiveness. If it's not, we can't emotionalize negative experiences, because it's not about us. It's about the purpose that God has given us, and the purpose that God has given our children, and our responsibility is to cultivate insight and bring that purpose to the forefront. James 1:22-5. This is the Berean Study Bible. Verse 22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Otherwise, you are deceiving yourself. For anyone who hears the word but does not carry it out is like a man who is looking at his face in a mirror, and after observing himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Lack of identity. Because that man is not a man, human, because sometimes we choose not to walk in what we say, and that brings hypocrisy. Verse 25, "But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and continues to do so, not being a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, he will be blessed in what he does." Being blessed in our identity, in our freedom, is based on what we do. There was an awesome statement that was shared with me today by Dr. Moore of the Money School, and she quoted Tony Robbins, and the quote was, "Knowledge without application is poverty." And I will remix it and say to you that knowledge without execution is religion. Religion meaning the mundane, the box. We just, underline just in your mind, highlight it. We just go to the church building. We go through the motions, not being open to be led by the Spirit of God. That is religion. That is the box. This is one reason why you hear me say, quote unquote, religion. Because we have, as a society, religion identified as denominations. However, the more intimate, the deeper understanding of it is that hypocrisy. We teach our sons to become men of God through conversation and demonstration that we have with them. Because young people hear what we say and they follow what we do. And that's a broad paintbrush, as my apostle would say. That's a generalized truth for society. People follow what people do. We listen to what you say, we follow what you do. We teach our daughters in the same way how to receive and what to expect from men of God through conversation, the demonstration of the conversation we have with them. Conversation, demonstration, demonstration, conversation. If the demonstration doesn't line up with the conversation, hypocrisy is the end result. And then hypocrisy brings confusion to the young people. If they're confused, they're not going to follow. They're going to follow what's best for them at the time in regards to their emotions, opinions, or being deceived in teaching or in conversation. The conversation is teaching. And then they go in that direction. I'm speaking from my own personal experience. I'm giving general statements because I'm not being too specific, because I'm staying sensitive to what takes place in my family. But it's true. What is guidance? What is guidance? We will answer that question when we come back from our station identification. We'll be back shortly. Last question was, what is guidance? Guidance is direction, instruction, coaching. Direction, instruction, coaching to motivate us and to hold us accountable to our God-given purpose and destiny. A person, age 13, 14, 39, 23, does not have the ability, possess the ability to be accountable to themselves. You're always accountable to somebody. You're either accountable to people outside of you or to God that is within you. Being accountable to yourself is impossible. My disclaimer statement, it may be subject to change, but now my reality is that it's impossible to be accountable to yourself because that's too much. It's too much credence, or it's too much given, too much credit given to self and not enough credit given to God. And this is, again, one reason guidance and direction, instruction, and coaches is important, because it's coming out, it's coming externally from another person at times. You can have internal motivation, because there are minimum three types of motivations. You got external, internal, and then you have eternal. Eternal motivation, spelled E-T-E-R-N-A-L, coming from the Lord. Internal motivation is pulling from within, you know, character. And external motivation is from outside sources. What do we need? Or better question, when? And when I'm making this statement, I'm making this statement to us as adults. And these are rhetorical statements, so I want you to think about it and visualize. When do you know that you need guidance? When do you know that you want guidance? If I can answer the question for myself, when do I know that I need guidance? When I position myself with the help of God to be as teachable as possible in my life right now, in June 18, 2019. I honestly listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings assessments to what I don't know. I may feel as though I know something, but it may be more to it. And then he'll bring that to me. Now, wanting guidance and needing guidance is different, because we as humans, we desire to be successful, and in actuality we desire safety when it comes down to it, and we just mask it as success. But it's easy to want to be successful or safe, and it can be more difficult to want the guidance to get there, because we feel as though we're creating our own life. And we feel as though we have the copyright or trademark on how to do something. We want to be the first to do it. And that's all rooted in a false identity and insecurity. So I'll leave you alone with that. Leave you to those rhetorical questions for you to consider. Now, we may feel as though we want or need guidance, advice, or counsel from others because a problem has yet to suffer or surface. But a problem that lies dormant is still a problem. Truly, we're always in want and need of guidance, because this is our original design in God and direction for people who've been where we are and where we are attempting to go. Spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, and financially. We may feel as though we don't want it, the guidance, until a problem persists. But my challenge statement for us is that if we feel as though we don't want guidance, and it takes for it's substantial or sequential that something has to happen, then that's a problem in itself. We always are looking for guidance. We may not have a conscious awareness of it, but it is always present. We just seek different things to resolve or rectify the issue, and it never gets resolved unless we submit ourselves to God and in turn submit ourselves to other people. Anytime we're going to a place we've never been, we are going to need guidance. I repeat this to the United States of America and to third world countries and countries abroad, the whole globe, is that anytime we are going to a place we have never been, not in my mind, but a tangible outcome, we are going to need guidance. despite all the information that we have afforded to us on our internet, despite the speed of the iPhone, if a person is trying to go to some place physically or they're trying to experience an outcome, you're going to need guidance. And this is an important point before we go into another station break identification. A mentor is illegal if she or he is mentoring young people and not being mentored. Yep. If I'm not accountable to people that's in a higher place than I am in any area of life, then me mentoring your child is illegal. Because I'm not submitted to mentors. So how do I know what it feels like? Station identification on that. Woo! It's a little bit rough right now, y'all. But we're going to press through. We almost at the end. We will check back with you very soon. Now, back to the message at hand. Usually, the problems in our life or problems in our life surface because the need for guidance and direction has been left unfulfilled. Usually, problems surface in our life because the need for guidance and direction has been unfulfilled. Basically saying that until something happens, now I feel like I need guidance. That feeling has lied to us. When we feel as though we don't want or need guidance, advice, or counsel, this is the independent spirit. We become our own God. Same thing back in Genesis 5. When the woman listened to the serpent and gave her the equation to be her own God or be like God, this is the mentality, the independent spirit that we have to address. Whether it be in the church, whether it be in a secular environment, whether it be in your household, husband, wife, children, we should not be independent in terms of not seeking out God and other people for assistance. And to give you some practical insight, when I'm mentoring young men, I see that often. They want to lead. 7-year-old trying to lead me somewhere. Like, no, you don't go before me. You follow behind me. And when the person follows behind me, they get taught on how to handle situations and how to arrive at manhood in Christ. And when the time is, the maturity takes place, they are released to guide other people and to lead. Men, saved or unsaved, normally go to other men when they are in need of something. And this is according to our value system. This is true. Whether the male is saved or unsaved, we normally go to other men when we in need of something. And this is according to our value system. The challenging statement that I would share on the podcast is that there are some times where I don't know what I need. There are some times that I know, and there are some times that I don't know. Therefore, I should always be fat. In our ministry, we use fat as flexible, available, and teachable in any circumstances, because it's always subject to change. It's subject to change, meaning that my thoughts, my actions in terms of me needing and not needing guidance, advice, and counsel is subject, it bows to change. Therefore, when change comes up in my life, conflict is usually the telltale sign that change is coming and knocking at your door. Then I submit to that. You know what? I do need this help. Because I've never been in that situation, or I've been in a situation several times, and the end result has continued to repeat itself, and I refuse to be a repeat offender of the same occurrence. This is a key, master key, to guiding you. Us being subject and us being flexible to change. In addition, understanding that people are going to come to us when they want something. Not sometimes when they need, but more so from my own perseverance when they won't. And this will help us guide youth. And in order to guide youth, and I'm speaking specifically in terms of young men, we have to know what they value. What do these young men value? And I'll give you this, that teenage boys value sports, relationships, shoes, fighting, clothes, music, electronics, video games, food, and money. They value all those characteristics or attributes or items because that is what society has projected to them as important. And this is what their peers surrounding them identify as most important to them. Now, you didn't hear me say anything about education on that list. You didn't hear me say anything about career on that list. I said sports, relationships, shoes, fighting, clothes, music, electronics, video games, food, and money. Some examples that I would share with you concerning this correlation to the value system is in respect to the examples of a son, a grandson, nephew, mentee, wanting or needing something from me. So my examples were that my younger brother may need to borrow some money so he can get his car up to pound. That's a value system. He will come to me, and this is a general statement. He will come to me and say, hey, my car is in the pound. Can I borrow some money or can I get some money? He needs it, but he really needed the wisdom that God placed it in me to get him out of that jam, or in civilized terms, not to get into the problem, not to have that difficulty. Let's say, for example, one of my godsons wants a ride to the Y. He wants to go play basketball. He needs a ride. He will call for the transportation. And lastly, one of my mentees having problems with his relationship, and he wants to talk about it. These are all perceived needs of young people in my specific examples from my life. Let's take a break. We're going to press through because this information is important for parents and teachers and people that run youth programs to understand this dynamic. Now, you may understand this dynamic from your perspective, but once again, to be able to position ourselves to receive the wisdom, advice, and counsel from a person like myself that has been gifted and graced to work with young people, it's not the same. It's not on the same frequency. You may have heard it, but it's not the same. It's on a different frequency. We're in a different time of life. We're at a different place. Let this be a clarion sound of awakening to those who are listening to provoke questions from this podcast. We'll take a break and get back to business and finish out the last portion. Let's finish this out strong. Where are we? We almost done, y'all. Understanding why you value what they value is another key to guiding you. Understanding why you value what they value is another key to guiding, key to guiding. And from my personal and professional experience, I may ask a young man, you know, why do you all wear skinny jeans? And their response would be, it's just something that kids do. That's it. I don't need to know anything else, because the objective, I'm gonna bring my tone up. The objective is not for me to find out why, because I already know. The objective is for me to demonstrate to this young man that I want to know why he chooses to wear these, because that's more about his perceived identity. And in his mind, he's saying, Mr. Case, ask questions. And he's not critical about the answer. I don't have to be. Because the objective of it is not for me to find out why. Because like I said before, I already know. So far, it's the misidentity. But I want him to know that I'm interested in learning why. Because he may add something to me that can be used in facilitating a mentor session, one-on-one, or a classroom environment that can connect the students in order for me to pass along academic information to them, or career education to them, or character education, identity. So connect it. Four quick steps we can take to guide our youth in a positive direction. First step, form a common ground. Learn the story. History and personal experience without making a judgment, without being critical, and without feedback. A lot of questions is key. Any student that have a relationship with me, no matter if it was in the traditional high school or in the community center, know that I ask a lot of questions when I'm first getting to know them. A lot of questions. Sometimes Spirit of God may beckon me to say something to them about a specific situation because he may see that it's going to cause them great harm or damage. But usually, I'm just asking a lot of questions because I'm a collector of experiences and information. Number two, know the child. We want to discover the various talents, aspirations, and motivation of the child. This is difficult because sometimes our kids are boxed in as far as the experiences, but still asking questions and asking them what a key question is, what are some of your hobbies? What do you like to do? What type of music do you like to listen to? That allow us to discover the various talents, the aspirations, motivation of a child. Also, what's your long-term goal? What do you see yourself doing in your junior year? What do you see yourself where you graduated high school? Where do you see yourself going? These are all questions that must be asked early to get them to stirring up, put the questions on their radar in order for them to place themselves in different environments, because life and death is in the tongue. So as you ask questions and you speak that into their life, if they trust you and they receive the seed, then it's a possibility that their perception and how they see will be heightened, where they can be more sensitive to the environment that they're in, and it may connect them with that career opportunity, whether it be traditional employment or a business that can transform the whole landscape of their life. Three is to define the goal. Identify the needs of a child parallel to community concerns. Then we look for opportunities beneficial to the growth and development of the child. I happen to have the honor to be on a call with an executive director today of a youth program. And as the person was sharing what his organization does, I could see the parallels to where some of my students and my surrounding communities can be linked to his program, and it would add growth to who they are and also impact that community in that specific region in hopes of them bringing it back to Joliet. So asking questions and identifying resources is a key component. Four, know yourself. Know your own story and skill set. Commit to the growth and development of yourself and the child in order for us to get to being a five. From being a one or three, we have to assess where we are. Too many times, because I've been a victim to this thought, that I know I wanted to achieve a goal, but I didn't assess where I was and what obstacles would hinder me from getting to that goal. The only obstacle that would hinder us is our perception of who we are. Anything else is just surface. But we still have to assess where we are and what are the obstacles, internal obstacles or roadblocks that would hinder us. Knowing your story, knowing who you are, in order for you to go in the direction and be a model to that child, to be able to commit to the growth. Because if I don't know that I need to grow, I don't have the ability to commit to it. But the growth and development of the mentor, the parent, the teacher, the coach is crucial in order for the child can sense that, model that, and go in that direction. And lastly, ask questions about the youth without being judgmental, which I talked on before, and or being judgmental with specifically your facial expression and verbal responses. Something that God has to work on in us. That's not something that can be practiced because it's connected to our identity and different defense mechanisms that come up when we don't agree with a person's viewpoint, opinion, or something that they did. We made it through. Keys to guiding you, scripturally based. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you pass it along. I wouldn't advise you to listen to it in one session. I would advise you to listen to it in chunks, take notes, and feel free to shoot me any feedback or questions at divorcethepast@gmail.com, or you can reach me directly at 773-599-1133. This is Mr. Cage of Divine Works Education and Training. Shutting the podcast down for today, and prayerfully, we will connect soon.